Amen. Yes, But what are some of the influences that impact our lives tonight? Amen. Are our decisions based on the Word of God? Or as Paul told the church of Rome, are we being led by His Spirit? Amen. So tonight as we stand, we're going to read Galatians 2, Psalm verse 1. We're going to read tonight about some godly individuals. Amen. We're talking about leadership in the church that had another influence. And the thing is, many times we're not aware of the influences. And we'll find out as we read here. So tonight, I mentioned it a little on Sunday, and you know, I just couldn't get away from it. I just kept going, and just like, you know, sometimes I assume God's trying to give me the message first. Amen. I need to be led to. But you know, I just couldn't get away from the thought, blind conformity. Amen. Blind conformity is, in a way, is we're doing something without a conscious awareness. And unfortunately, in the church, many times we make decisions, holy, filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, but we're not aware of the influences. We're going to read verse 2, and I'm going to read more, and we'll conclude by reading verse 11, actually, I don't want to read all of this. Yeah, 2 through 11, well, chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, amen. Because it's cold out, it just give you all a chance to warm up some. Amen. Let's start. This is Paul. He said, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. But I cried me to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me in a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision.
Only they with that they should
remember the poor, the same which I also was born to do. But when Peter was come unto Antioch, I withstood him to the faith, because he was the way. Verse 12. For before that certain came with James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Give the Lord a blessing to the reading of his word. And somebody say, his word is blessed.
Word is blessed.
Already.
Already.
Amen. May be seated in Jesus' name. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. And the Lord told Peter, he said, Peter, whatever you bind on earth shall be. Whatever you loose on earth shall be In other words, God let Peter know that you're going to be the spokesman for Pentecost.
Amen.
So we would assume that because Peter was the head of the church, Peter had to be a what kind of man? Godly man. Mm-hmm. Amen. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and spoke out of the unction of the leading of the Holy Ghost. Peter, the Lord showed him in a vision when he went to the first Gentile. Amen. Paul was the first to go to the Gentiles. When Peter went to the Gentile, and the Lord showed Peter, he said, well, he showed him in a vision, and he showed him all manner of unclean animals, because the Jews did not eat anything unclean. And the Lord told Peter, as he said in the vision on the rooftop, he said, rise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. And the Lord did this three times, and then he received the animal or the sheep of the vision back up into heaven. And he said, Peter, what God has cleansed, call thou not common nor unclean. So God was preparing Peter.
Yes.
Then Peter goes down to Cornelius' house, who was an Italian, and he didn't understand the vision, but when he went to Cornelius' house, now Peter was a what kind of man?
Godly man.
He went to Cornelius' house, and the Bible says, as he preached, okay. Amen. As he preached, because he had faith, the Holy Ghost fell on them all. But the influences. The Jews that went down with Peter were astonished. Now, if we read Acts 1, the Lord had already told them that they were going to go to Samaria and to the utmost part of the earth to preach this message. But there was another influence that they weren't even aware of. I pray tonight, in our quest to be led by the Spirit, that there are no other influences. The spokesman for Pentecost, the head of the church, the one that introduced to the church the baptism of Jesus' name and being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, had an underlying influence that he was not aware of. Amen. So that's just a little history without taking too long to bring us up to where we are now. Paul and Barnabas, because they constantly questioned Paul's ministry, whether or not he was in tune with God as God had sent him. The greatest challenge that Paul had after his conversion from being Paul was them saying that his ministry was inferior, and the people not accepted Paul. So Paul says, 14 years ago, after 14 years, he went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. He said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. He said, but I went, he said, I went to those that were in charge. I went to those that need the word of God, and you have to be led by the Spirit. Amen? Lest by any means I should rather have run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Jew, was compelled to be circumcised. I'm not going to read all this. But what he's saying is, the Jews had this influence. Amen. Even though Jesus said he brought a new and a living way, they were still under an old influence. They would have what we call blind conformity. They weren't doing it intentionally. They weren't doing it willingly. But they had another influence that was dominating their thinking. Amen? Before I go further, let me read what conformity is as far as a Bible dictionary is concerned. We know what Webster might say. Webster was a godly man back in his day, but we want to do more of a scriptural meaning. Conformity is the abandoning or relinquishing of one's individual and personal judgments the abandoning or relinquishing of one's individual and personal judgments and decision-making in the face of some external religious or social pressure. And knowing, abandoning, relinquishing, but knowing that what is being said or done is in direct opposition to God. Standards of righteousness. That's a bad conformity. You know, you meet people, you say, well, why did you do this? Said, well, because I didn't want to be left out there alone. Amen. Where is the backbone? Where is the Holy Ghost boldness to make a stand for God? Blind conformity is an external pressure. It's another influence that we're not aware of that dominates us more than God's Spirit which is in us. It's an external force. It's a pressure. I don't want to necessarily disappoint someone else. I don't want to make my decision and hurt someone else, so I'll just hurt God. But it's blind. We make these decisions and we're not aware of the consequences until the Lord reveals it to us. Well, this is what happened to Peter. Actually, we want to skip down a little further. Let's go down to verse 9. Skip down to verse 9. Blind conformity. What makes you do what you do, and what are the influences? And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be what? These were the pillars of the church. They were the authority. Amen. Nothing happened without going through the authority. Proceed, even when, just for a second, even when Philip went down to Samaria, he preached, amen, and he baptized, but the fulfillment of the consummation of the born-again experience did not come until Peter came down from Jerusalem. Then the Holy Ghost fell. Peter was in charge. Peter was a godly man. Amen. Peter was the spokesman for Pentecost. He was a pillar of the church, received the grace that was given unto me. They gave unto me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor. Paul said, our already purpose to do this. But when Peter was come to Antioch, an influence, a hearing influence, that even Peter didn't realize was there. Peter was who? Number one. Well, James really was number one. But Peter was the evangelist, preacher, teacher. Amen? Peter was a spokesman. Who did God give the keys?
Peter.
The Lord himself gave Peter. Though he was godly and righteous, there was another hidden agenda in Peter that he was not aware of. He said, but when Peter was from the Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Wait a minute. What is the teacher doing standing up against the teacher? I mean, the student doing standing up against the teacher? You got to stand up for what is right. Amen. All of this compromising and not wanting to hurt anyone's feelings, you got to make a stand for God. Yeah. Now, Paul had just got his confirmation from who? Peter. Amen? Didn't we just read it?
Yes.
Amen. Paul got his commission to go to the Gentiles from who?
Peter.
Now, Peter comes in Paul's territory to the Gentiles. He said, I was stood up to the face because he was what? The Holy Ghost preacher? The spokesman for Pentecost was wrong? Why? There was some blind conformity that he wasn't aware of. For before that servant came from James, he did eat But when they were come, he
withdrew
and separated himself because he had some lying to inform him. Because he what? Feared them of the what? Peter, the spokesman, made a bad decision because of what? Fear. That external pressure, that religious social pressure to please another individual before God. Amen. The next verse reads, and the other Jews assembled likewise. In other words, they were acting as hypocrites. Why? Because of Peter and fear. A godly man, but he had another influence. They caused him to act in opposition to God. Thank God for Paul. He said, and so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw, who is this? Is this Peter? We know at least 8,000 souls got saved on his ministry. 3,000 at one time in Jerusalem and 5,000 at another, and it's much more than that. So he was a powerful preacher. He was a godly man. But he said, but when I saw that he walked not uprightly, how? According to the word of God. According to the what? Truth of the gospel. Lord, I wonder how many of us tonight are making decisions. On behalf of influences, but it's not according to the truth. Not according to godliness, blind conforming. We're conforming, but we're not conforming because of God's word. And once again, blind conforming is put simply as direct opposition to the word of God. How? Knowing it, but in a subconscious manner. So he said, he walked not according to this gospel. I said unto Peter before. Amen. You know, some people get so offended today. They better not say nothing like that to you all. Don't mess up. Most of us be running the other way. Don't ever speak to me. I'll never come back to church. But when you're wrong, you're wrong.
Amen.
We're not talking about man's standards now. We're talking about being saved.
Right.
Peter was wrong according to the truth of the what? Gospel. If you're making a mistake and it's not lining up with the word of God, amen, Paul said, do I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Society has made a bold, a shaped us into blind conformity. Don't tell me the truth. Let me do what I want to do. Amen, I'm still going to be saved.
Come on.
Paul made a stand. God knows. If I know you're wrong, I got to tell you. Hey, man, I'm going to get mad. I don't know why you said this. Even
now,
we're not going to compromise for sin.
Amen.
Not when it's in direct opposition to God, to knowingly make decisions based on fear. Well, why did you do? What do you mean you're afraid? If God be what? For you. Blind conforming. Peter, what? Fear. Amen. He said, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews. What? Skip down, wait a minute. Let's skip down a little further. I don't want to read all of this. In other words, Peter was wrong. Amen. He was dead wrong. Go to verse 16. Peter was wrong because he walked not uprightly according to what? Truth of blind conforming. When you make those decisions,
Hallelujah.
I want somebody to come my way again.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be wrong and be strong in my wrong. But Lord, I want to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt me in due time. Knowing that a man is not justified by what he does according to the law. Amen. But by what faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Society has so many of us running to live in fear. Afraid to do the right thing because of what we might lose. Or because of what others may say about us. Wrong. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ as He might be justified by, that we might be justified by faith and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, well, I just did it because everybody won't be justified by works. Our justification comes through faith. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found to miss the mark. We're coming up short. That's what it means by sin. Not an intentional sin. This is a continuation of who?
Peter.
He's trying to get in the walk according to the truth of the gospel. What did he get him? If you got saved under his ministry plan of eyes, right is right and wrong is wrong. As saints, we can't be jelly bats and cowards. Amen. And won't make a stand for God.
My.
I'm not saying that all ugly and nasty, but make a stand. Paul said, I stood and I corrected Peter in pride. No, he didn't. He said, I did what? Before them all. As a child of God, you got to get some backbone and make a stand.
Amen.
And stop conforming to all this ungodliness and wrong. Because you're afraid of the people. You're afraid of what they may say or what they may do. If God be for you. He said, be found sinners. If therefore Christ, the minister of sin, God forbid. For I build again the things which I. Paul said, I'm not going backwards. Even dealing with the Judaizers, them trying to go back under that old Mosaic system. He said, I'm not going to build again the things that I destroyed because then I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live. Lord, tonight, who are you living unto? What decisions that you make, what are you making those decisions unto? Is it unto what everybody else is thinking and doing, or is it unto God? He has to be number one. And the only way that you can make that decision, Paul said, for I am crucified, I'm crucified. Nevertheless, I live, he said, but yet, when you see me, you don't see Paul anymore. When you see me, you shouldn't see other camp anymore. He said, but Christ
right now
lives in me. So now the life that I now live, I live how?
By faith.
You live it how?
By
faith in the Son of God. Life conforming will cause us to act contrary to God. And we will justify it. We will give excuses for it, but it will not wash with God. Because God intends for every last one of us to walk according to the truth of the gospel. And we read it a little earlier, he said, but God, there is no respect of person. Amen. Can you go to Luke chapter 6? Our decision making. Blind conformity can be godly, can be holy, can be righteous. But there are influences that affect our decision making.
None.
and not God. That's an alarm. Amen? All right, Luke 6, let's go to verse 6. Actually, you can also read these other scriptures before and afterwards, but we go to verse 6. We're dealing with what?
Blind
conformity. Can we say blind conformity?
Blind conformity.
Amen. Don't leave me by myself.
Come on, now.
The praise team sing the song, come by here.
Right now.
We need you, Lord. Amen. Don't leave me. We're dealing with blind conformity. Amen. And a little later, we get into a little further. It says, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find
accusation.
Blind conformity. They just stuck in tradition. Stuck in men themselves. Amen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, when he knew their thoughts, he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I ask you
one thing.
This is what blind conformity can do. Even blind conformity, you won't do the right thing because of fear. Mm-hmm. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do
evil?
And everybody knows it's never lawful to do what?
Evil.
So it's a very simple question to answer. If we ask you, now, should you do good or do evil, what are you going to say?
Good.
Do good, right? Now, this is the Lord himself. He said, is it lawful for me, for you, to do good or to do evil? Blind conformity will do this to you. To save life or to destroy it. And looking around about them all. Before you go there, go to Mark. I'm going to show you just another version. Go to Mark chapter 3, verse 4. And then we're going to come right back to this. Now he asked them a question. Should we save life? Should we do good? Should we do evil? Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Actually, I'm just reading real fast. It's going to take a minute. Then we'll come back to this. I'm going to show you what happened when people entrenched in their ways. And it's not necessarily God's ways. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? This is what blind conformity is like, that all of us should know what to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But they
held the peace.
Blind conformity wouldn't say anything. Just like Elijah when he went to the prophets of Baal and he spoke to the people of Israel. He told them, he said, it's time to make a stand. If God be God,
who can be a
serve God?
Amen.
But if Baal be God, he said, serve Baal. And the Bible said, they answered him,
no way.
Not a word. Blind conformity. Another influence that dominates your decision-making more than God and his word. Saints of God, we should never do anything that's evil or contrary to the word of God, irregardless. But when you're entrenched in your ways, or when you're entrenched in the ways of the world and your pre-programming before salvation, you will act contrary. And that's why Paul said, if any church is saved.
Amen.
But where is their mind?
Jesus.
Is it in conformity to God or conforming to the world? James said, if any man would be a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God.
That's right.
Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. Mm-hmm. What are the influences? not to you, you. Amen. Keep going. And they were filled. Wait a minute. Ain't something wrong? God just performed a miracle in your life.
Yes, sir.
God just did something for you. And instead of you rejoicing and giving God the glory, God did it. Lie conforming. An influence. An influence that's there on the inside that you didn't know was there. How can you be mad when God has just performed a miracle? Miracles are not made by man. Miracles can only come from God.
Right.
But when you have another influence that's resident in you and you're not aware of it, you get mad when God does something good. That's a check. That's a gut check.
Amen.
Somebody needs to look at this song. Amen. Yeah. And they were filled with madness and communion with one another, what they might. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind among the Jewish brethren, a religion. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his. Well, if he was born that way, I don't think he could sin. But influences, prejudices, mind, the way we perceive a different thing, they thought that he had to be this way because of what they had done, believed for years. So the only way that this man could be born blind is either he's sinned or his parents. Blind conforming, those influences. But that the works of God should be made what? Manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day that the night comes when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation said. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, now God is performing, this is blind before me again, at work. Alright? He's a man, he was a child, so all these years he was what? Blind. Now God performs his miracle. Now this is what happened when you have another influence. The neighbors therefore, the name which before had seen him and he was blind, said, is not this he that sat daily and begged? Some said, this is he, others said, he is what?
Like him.
But he said, I am
he.
Amen.
Amen.
Therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisee him that aforetime was
blind.
What are you trying to do? We can go back blind. Amen. God had already performed a miracle. So what you got to bring to the religious authorities? You got to watch that external religious social pressure. It'll make you act contrary to God. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus
made the clay.
Lord, have mercy. What should we be glad that God performed a miracle?
Hallelujah.
But entrenched in selfishness, or self-righteousness, they couldn't see the miracle of God. Because they couldn't see past their own tradition or way of thinking. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received this light? He said, unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man,
not of God.
Is something missing here? Is something missing?
They got stuck, Elder.
Huh? He was blind from a child, he's a grown man, they see. You couldn't help him. Blind conformity makes you talk about somebody that just did something good. Well, if he did, he healed him, and we know miracles from God, he said he can't be of God. Is something missing? One of the influences that affect our thinking and what we do. What are the influences? Yeah, God didn't do that.
Well, who did it?
You didn't do it. You don't have an answer? You can't explain it? Well, what are you doing beating it up? This man is not of God because he keepeth not the traditions. How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Even they had enough sense to ask that question.
Amen.
If he's a sinner, how can he do these miracles? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what said thou of him that he had opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind or received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now, this is the essence of blind conforming, what happens next. Amen. They asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?"
Amen.
His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not." This is blind performing in its essence. This is flesh and blood. This is someone that broke him into existence. They know his struggle through the years. But look what blind performing will make you do. Say, he is of age. Ask him. Let him speak for himself. Well, wait a minute. Aren't you his parents? He had to share the miracle with you. You know how he received his sight. Amen. The next verse reads, "These words make his parents because they fly forward. Fear." Amen. But maybe you do some ungodly wrong things.
Amen.
It will influence you in a way that will make you even deny your own flesh and blood. Fear. Because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put
out of the synagogue.
Mind conforming. Can't surrender you to God for what? Fear of what they may lose. Go to John chapter 12, and we'll go to 12 verse 9. As usual, I won't get through all this, but we get through far enough, and you all can do some reading on your own. Fear. 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 John said, "Where there is fear, there is torment." God did not give us a spirit of fear. Stop conforming to the things of this world because of what we might lose. They were afraid that they might be kicked out of the synagogue. Peter wouldn't make us stand for God as righteous because he was afraid of what the brethren might think. What are your influences? What are you conforming to blindly in opposition to God? That we make some decisions because it's in us, but it's not of God. It's not right. Verse 9, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake." This is not the Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. But once again, this is my conformity. "And they came not that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus
on the death."
God, this is a miracle. What is wrong with you all? What are you upset? Because God just did something good for him. So because God did something good, you want to kill Jesus and Lazarus? You see how blind the forming can make us do some crazy thinking?
Amen.
Can make us go contrary? First, the next verse, he said, "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and
believed on Jesus."
That's a good thing.
Amen.
See, go down to verse 37. So, because of their blindness, they're going to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Is something wrong?
Don't make any sense.
Amen. Is something missing? The influences.
None.
Holding on to things that aren't necessary should be there. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they would not conform. They practiced their blind conforming, would not believe on him. "That the same of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake," keep going, but now we know this, "they draw not to me because their hearts are far from me." Keep going. I'll go back. This is what blind performing kept after me in mind. He has what?
Blinded their eyes.
When you are far from something contrary. Amen. When you but the more than lip service and not living. Said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory as made from him. Nevertheless, among the chief ruler also many believed on him. Amen. They believed. But because of the
Pharisees,
they would not confess him because of what they might lose. How many of us tonight?
Jesus.
How many of us tonight? Won't make a stand for God in many situations because we are afraid of what we might lose. Amen. Blind conformity will govern you by fear and make you that contrary. Verse, go to the next verse. They will be, for they love what?
Praise of man more than praise of God.
That external, social, religious pressure that makes you act in opposition to God. They were afraid of what they might lose, and most of all, they wanted the praises of
man
more than
God.
You know, God is going to allow our lives to be going in a certain way till we learn to make a conviction and a stand. As long as you compromise, God is going to allow your situation to stay where it's at. Until you stop seeking the praises of men and seek after the praises
God.
Of God. That's the only thing that counts. In the end, what we have to make a stand is going to be for God and God alone. Actually, let's get down to, let's go to Romans chapter 11. I got a few more minutes. Romans 11, 25. I got 12 minutes. I'm going to cut it short in righteousness.
Amen.
Amen. But I pray that by the time we leave, we understand that we need to stop making decisions based on everything but God. You know what we do many times? Not anybody understand this for the people that I send it out to. We don't do it again. But we make decisions and they say, God, approve it. Hello?
Right.
You're right, Al.
God, this is what I want you to do for me now. Do it. We're supposed to ask, not take. We're supposed to submit, not try to dominate. But we make our decisions. They get mad at God because they don't work. When God was trying to stop you before you did what you did.
Amen.
But we do it, they get mad. And God and everybody else, just like the Pharisees. Then when it doesn't work, we get vindictive. They want to take it out on other people. Make a stand for God. Is it both to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill life? Or would we be like the Pharisees to get mad because something God has done good to somebody else? That's not God. Amen. Paul said, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise. 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 To what you? Too much you. Amen. Let me read you a good definition for wise in your own conceit. Wise in your own conceit will be standards of personal judgment which are in direct opposition to God. Personal judgments. Why don't you do it? Because I wanted to do it. Well, what does God's word say? Don't you want to fit somewhere? Amen. Don't you want to walk, at least, if you don't want to walk be wise in our own conceit. It's a personal judgment. Amen. It says, this wise in your own conceit is not in a good way, it's in a bad way. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, talks about not being wise. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. Wise in your own conceit. Yes. Hey, I've been like this all my life. Don't try to tell me it's time for a change. You can't stay like that. That's wrong. It's contrary. All your judgments are based on personal self-satisfaction and not pleasing God. Get it right. Amen. Learn that because of your conceit and because you being used in blindness has happened unto you. That's where blind conformity comes from. Refusing to submit to God. Just want to be you. For years I was me, but I got tired of being me. Amen. I got tired of seeing me, still get tired of. So I work on dying daily. Paul said, we must die daily. John said, he must increase and I must
decrease.
He must
increase.
I must
decrease.
Most of us said, you know what, I'm going up higher. Lord, you can just see right there. You need to change that. It's time to conform to God's way.
Amen.
And stop practicing all of this blind performing. The last example we're going to use, actually they got a lot more examples, but I'm not going to use them all because y'all say, man, we never get out of church.
Preach on, Elvis.
We don't come to church for 2 times a week, so most everybody don't come like they should. So I used to take half an hour, then I moved up to 45 minutes. Then I move it to an hour, so then hour, I'm going to have to do it for 2 times, right? Half an hour for the service. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter
8.
I'm only joking, there's a whole lot of truth in the joke, right? But seriously, we need, the Word of God is supposed to change.
Amen.
It's supposed to effectuate change.
Amen.
We're not supposed to hear the Word say the same every time. It's supposed to bring out something different in us.
Come on.
Amen. You know, the greatest challenge we hear the Word, watch when you leave the doors. That's when the challenge comes.
Mm-hmm.
We come to church, we hear the Word, we go out and get slapped right back there. Bible says you have to watch as well as 1 Samuel 8. We're going to deal with now, last camp for blind conformity was the man of God, Samuel. Samuel was a godly man that the Lord spoke to face to face.
Yeah.
Remember when Eli told Samuel, he said, go say, speak, Lord, for thy servant?
Yeah.
God spoke directly to Samuel. So when the other man was what kind of man? A godly man. Amen. He was a man of great influence. Verse, chapter 8, verse 1, we'll read verse 1 through 7. Say, it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges. Mistake number one. God made judges. But now Samuel is doing God's job. Read all through Judges. Then it was Samson, then it was Jephthah, then it was Deborah, then it was Eliab. God made them judges. But now was Samuel a godly man?
Yes.
But Samuel is conforming, but not according to God. Amen. So he made his sons judges. Now the name of the first one was Joel, Abraham, and the next verse, Abraham. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came unto Samuel and unto Ramah. The third verse said his sons were in sin. He made them judges, but God did not make them a judge. Because all the judges that God made were deliverers. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Now he made his son, but then his son did like Eli's son, they were in sin, because they were following tradition of having blind conformity, but it was not God's way. So as a result of his son not walking, you go down to verse 6. As a result of his son not blind for far, it can mess you up. Say, we want to be like all the other nations. Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the people, voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. Give them what they want, Samuel. He said, they haven't rejected you, but they rejected because they don't want me to reign over them. When we do not want to submit to God's sovereignty, you didn't reject the preacher. You didn't reject the church.
Reject God.
You didn't reject whoever was trying to lead you. You rejected God. Because you chose not for God to reign on you. The Bible says, in a multitude of counsel there is, sometimes out in the world, not the church, everything might be all the right thing. But there's some people that make their decision without even consulting God. You know why? Because they want to do what they want to do and be like everybody else, because in essence they do not want to submit to God for him to reign over them. Blind and follow. I see a whole lot of people doing the same thing. I believe I heard Jesus say in the book of Matthew, many of all but wide is the gate and broad is the way. Get narrow deep. Let's get wide and broad first. Too much conformity. Amen? Wide is the gate and broad is the way. But if you want to be God to reign over you, straight is the. Hey, you know that straight don't mean straight, right? You know what that straight means? Real thin.
Narrow.
Real narrow. It means you can't take all your stuff from that gate.
Right.
So straight is the gate then.
Narrow.
That means it's time to get rid of some stuff. What stuff? Everything that won't let you submit to God to let him reign over you.
Amen.
Amen. So they decided, we want to be just like, you know what, I don't care, just me. I don't care if I never have a house, another car, or anything else. Just let me have God.
All right.
If I got him, I got more than enough. All
right now.
What are we trying to gain? Or what does it profit us if we gain everything we want and lose our souls? Blind performing. Let me get through this real fast. All right, drop down to, let me see, go down to go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. So they want to be like everybody else. So God tells Samuel to do what? Do it. He says, Samuel, do it because they didn't reject you, they rejected who? Me. Why? Because they don't want me to tell them what to do anymore. They want to be like all of the ungodly nations. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 18. Verse 18. This is when Samuel goes to anoint Saul king. We're going to show you now. Samuel messed up the first time when he made his son judges. Now let's see what happens to Samuel now. And said unto the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all kingdoms, and them that oppressed you, and you have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all of your adversities and your tribulations, and he has said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord your God, tribe and by your thousands. And when Samuel had called all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they saw him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man that should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any other people from his shoulders and upward. So this was the king. He was magnificent. He was goodly, but he was what would be considered a giant or a tall individual. Now, I'm just going to reference this. Now, when God rejects this tall, head, shoulders individual, he said, now go to the house of Jesse and get me another king. I'm going to choose another king. Blind before me, Samuel was a godly man. And when he went to the house of Jesse, he went based on what he had already seen God do. So when Eliab passed by him, he said, he's just like Saul. Certainly, the Lord's anointed because of blind conforming. He was basing his decision based on the past of what God had done. And God said, no, Samuel, as we stand. God seeth not as God does not look a judge as we do. He said, Samuel, for man looks at thee, but God looks at our hearts. Tonight, you know, God knows, and the devil knows. What are the influences in your life? What causes you to make the decisions that you make? Do you do it in honor of God as being your sovereign king? Or have we inadvertently developed a mentality that we do the things because we don't want God to really make over us? If I do it right, I might lose some stuff. Fear is a horrible, horrible, horrible spirit. Fear will cause us to go contrary to God every time. It's time to make a stand for God. Amen. Are you living your life in blind conformity? Are you living tonight saying, for God I live and for God I die?
Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Blind conformity. Thank God for the word tonight. Everyone here is walking with Christ, no visitors. Does anyone who needs prayer tonight? Anyone who wants to draw closer to God? We don't want to walk in blind conformity tonight. We want to be what God wants us to be, amen? We want to be saved, we want to be bold in the Lord. We don't want to be ashamed of Christ. Is there anyone who needs prayer to have an altar as well?